This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it's time now for the Sports Saturday Show, brought to you this morning by Prairie Farms Dairy of Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Stearin, your State Farm Insurance agent of Litchfield. By the Huff Funeral Homes of Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurt's 24-Hour Towing of Litchfield. By Nancy's Pizza of Litchfield. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Bruce Webb Insurance of Farmersville and Raymond. By Garrell's Auto Body of Litchfield. And by DC Waste and Recycling. Now with the Sports Saturday Show on WSMI FM 106, we join Tim Mize.
Randy Prangy, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. A great show lined up for you here. Coming up in just a moment or two, we're going to catch up with Joe Alstadt, of course, the Greenville Athletic Director. He's in charge of the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic, and we'll be talking to Mr. Alstadt about that event coming up January 14th and 15th. On the way at around 9:30 this morning, we will catch up with newly minted Hall of Famer Steve Woolley as the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association released their list of Hall of Famers earlier this week, and Coach Woolley is going in. We'll catch up with him at the bottom of the hour. He's actually up in Germantown Hills this morning. His 8th grade girls team is in the state basketball tournament in a quarterfinal. They'll play at 11:30 this morning against Tolono Unity. So we'll talk to Coach Woolley about his junior high squad as well as the awesome addition of him into the IBCA Hall of Fame. There were also 4 girls from Carrollton, the 3 DeShashers, and Amber Shelton Allen, all inducted into the Hall of Fame. Also, Adrian Range, who played at Carthage and coached at North Mac, also inducted into the Hall of Fame. So congratulations to all of the new Hall of Famers in the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association Hall of Fame. We're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Joe Alstadt. He's the Greenville Athletic Director. Joe, good morning, sir.
Sam, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling.
Hey, you're welcome. And we'll get to the coaches clinic in a minute, but you got a big basketball game today, I understand.
We do. We're traveling to Trenton Westland, who's been a really good non-conference opponent for us there the last few years. And Saturday night game against one of the top teams in Southern Illinois, so we're excited about the opportunity.
You know, a lot of times junior high basketball, you know, it's not on people's radar, but then when those kids get to high school, suddenly they're very important to a lot of different folks.
Yeah, then you know all about them, right?
That's right.
They get a little more attention that way, but you're exactly right, no doubt about it.
Joe, let's talk about the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic. This is the 15th annual clinic. That is hard to believe. It'll be January 14th and 15th this year at the Greenville High School Auditorium. And I guess, first off, Joe, if you could go back, talk about the initial concept and the idea and how it has evolved into the 15th annual.
Sure. Well, 15 years sure has gone quick, that's for sure. 2003 was our first clinic, and, you know, Coach Hutch and myself and Coach Jergena, Coach Yonker, we would travel really the state or even sometimes to national conventions, and we thought, you know what, there's really nothing in our area. We could maybe start our own clinic and with the hope of breaking even, but we could pick who we wanted to hear speak, and that would kind of be a free clinic for us just personally, you know, and if we made a little bit of money, that'd be great. So our first year, we got about 100 coaches. We had a really good speaker list with Gordy Gillespie and Itchy Jones to headline it. And, you know, ever since then, we've really started growing. We moved it permanently to Martin Luther King Weekend 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. We expanded it to a Sunday night and Monday clinic on Martin Luther King Day. So it's made expansion there, and ever since we expanded it, we've really picked up a sponsorship from the St. Louis Cardinals to allow us to bring in some bigger name national speakers. And we've really grown as far as the area where we're attracting coaches from. It's not just a one-day clinic anymore, so they can come for an overnight. Last year we had over 350 coaches here from 8 different states. So this year I've already got registrations from a group of coaches, 6 coaches from the Dallas, Texas area. So.
Wow.
It's really incredible what has become in tiny little Greenville.
And, Joe, when an event like this gets a foothold like it has now in its 15th year, there's good buzz about this clinic. So I would imagine that from time to time you have pretty big-time guys who maybe contact you and want to be involved in the clinic.
It has come to that. Yes, Tim. You know, the last few years especially, I've had some really big-name coaches that some of your listeners would even know their names contact me, saying, hey, if you ever need somebody to speak, let me know. And trust me, it hasn't always been like that. There's been years that I've thought, man, who can we get that'll be a draw this year? Because I really didn't have any contacts on people. Everybody, every speaker we've ever gotten, we've gotten ourselves. But as the clinic's gotten bigger and we've gotten some pro guys and some top college guys, you can network with them a little bit and they're willing to help you out to contact other people and things like that. So it's really grown to that and pretty happy with it. Right now we've got a list of all kinds of coaches to think about asking to speak for next year already. So.
And you've got a really nice list of speakers this year. Jerry Weinstein from the Rockies, Mickey Callaway from the Mets, Chris Burke, I remember that name. He had a big home run in like the 20th inning of a playoff game years ago. He'll be talking. And then Pat Murphy of the Brewers. So, Joe, and they're all going to be talking about something different. A lot of good knowledge there.
Yeah, we try to highlight a lot of different speaking topics of baseball. You know, Mickey Callaway was just hired as the Mets manager. He was the Indians pitching coach. We've had him, I don't want to say contracted, but he agreed to speak about a year ago. So we've had him for a year, and with the switch to the Mets, he still thinks he can come, even with some extra duties he's got this offseason. He's our fifth big league manager that we've had come here and speak. It's pretty incredible. But he's a pitching guy. He's going to speak one topic on pitching. He's going to speak one topic on culture because he thinks that's one of the strongest things, and we'll probably see that now that he's the manager of the Mets. We'll be able to use that a lot more. But Jerry Weinstein is a Rockies double-A manager. He used to be the catching coordinator. He has coached about every level of baseball. He's a national speaker. He goes everywhere. He is a wealth of knowledge. He's got all kinds of books and videos out for purchase. He's going to speak three times here. We think he might be our best guy as far as coaches getting knowledge from. I mean, he's just a plethora of knowledge. Chris Burke, like you said, had an awesome big league career. He was a first-round pick out of Tennessee, one of the top hitters ever out of the SEC. He does some analyzing now for ESPN for college baseball. But he does a lot of lessons, and he coaches kids from age 8 all the way to big league hitters. So he's going to talk hitting, two different sessions. And Pat Murphy, he was here a few years ago as a Padres manager. Now he's the bench coach of the Brewers. He's going to talk on offensive and defensive philosophies. So all those guys are really, really good. We're really excited. This is probably our best lineup that we've ever had, and I think I say that about every year. My wife says I do anyway. But
it's probably true every year, though.
About those four. What's that?
It's probably true every year. It gets better each year.
That's what I tell her. I say if we're not getting better every year, then something's wrong. But like I said, Tim, we're really excited about this group of four guys, and we think they offer a lot to the coaches that come.
And, Joe, coaches, no matter the sport, whether it's football or basketball, you know, there's clinics all over. You go and network. But there's something about the game of baseball that seems to really lend itself to an event like this.
I couldn't agree more. You know, I think baseball coaches are willing to share their information and knowledge. There's not one right or wrong way to do something. What works for one coach may not work for another. You know, football coaches are so secretive. They don't want anything getting out about their team, their program, what they're doing. Basketball, I imagine, the same way. But baseball coaches, what I found is always willing to share. As a coach myself, I've emailed coaches around the country that I don't even know and just ask for things, and I'll get an email back or a call back, and they're willing to help. And I think that's the biggest separator. And there's football clinics, there's basketball clinics, and I'm certainly not degrading any of those. But I think baseball coaches as a whole are just more willing to share their information than what other sports are, from what I know.
Yeah, that seems to be my experience as well. And obviously, so Greenville's had a great baseball program over a number of years. You've been involved with it for quite some time. Obviously, Hutch has been the head man for a long time. Mm-hmm. If you had to pinpoint a couple of things about Comet Baseball that has allowed the sustained type of success, what would it be?
Well, I think the stability of our head coach, number one, Coach Hutchinson does a great job. I think this is going to be his 25th year. And he's got all kinds of discipline in our program. The kids know what they're signing up for when they go play. They know they're going to learn the game the right way. He's going to hold them accountable. There's not going to be a whole lot of fooling around going on. And we'll have some fun, but we're not going to be fooling around. It's a serious thing, and I think the kids respond to that. And they know the expectation of the program, and they want to be a part of something bigger than them.
Absolutely. The I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic coming up January 14th and 15th. Joe, if someone maybe hasn't attended prior, what is the best way for them to get signed up?
They can go to our website, which is i70clinic.com, i70clinic.com. there's a link there to you can register online, that you can click on our brochure and print that out and send it in if you want to. There's more information on our speakers. You can see the schedule there. We do have a hospitality room or a coach's social on Sunday night that's sponsored and by Dura Edge and Riddell. And we're pretty excited about that. It's something that's free eating drinks for the coaches afterwards. We think that what sets our clinic apart is just that it's a cheap clinic, $50. It'll get you all the sessions, the coach's social, a catered lunch on Monday, and a chance for all kinds of door prizes. We think that's what sets ours apart from others. It's so reasonably priced. And the I-70 Clinic, you can follow on Twitter at I-70Clinic. And you can call or email me at Greenville High School.
Awesome. $50. That's a great deal, man.
Well, you can bring your staff. Like I told you about the staff from Dallas, Texas. There's six guys coming. The staff rate's $175. So they're paying less than $30 a person to come. And we want to make it affordable. We haven't raised our prices since the first day we've had the clinic. So we want as many people to come as they can. We're not out just to gouge people and make a ton of money like some others are. So.
That's great, Joe. Great clinic. It'll come out January 14th and 15th at Greenville High School in the auditorium. And, of course, you can find them on Twitter, I-70 Clinic, if you would like a little bit more information on their website, i70clinic.com. Joe, anything else about the clinic you want people to know about?
I think you covered it pretty well, Tim. I appreciate the opportunity to get heard. And we've always had a nice group of people from the area and Springfield area and St. Louis area, obviously, that come, but really the nucleus of the people that come. So we appreciate the support and hope to have a good crowd again this year.
I think you will. Sir, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. And, hey, good luck today in the ball game.
Thanks, Tim. We'll see you in a gym soon, right?
Absolutely. Coming down the line. Joe Alstadt, the Greenville Athletic Director and the man who's, I guess, taking the point for the media relations for the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic January 14th and 15th at Greenville High School. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back following these messages.
Back we go to the Sports Saturday Show, and once again we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, Randy Prangy. Of course, it was an interesting long week for the city of Litchfield dealing with that influenza virus that really tackled the whole town. They had 300 kids out of their district earlier in the week, had to cancel their sporting events throughout the week. Now, they are going to wrestle today. The Porta Invite is happening today, and Litchfield will go, along with Carthenville, Hillsboro, and Mount Olive. They will all be participating in the Porta Invite today, so hopefully the kids from Litchfield have some of their strength back, as they will finally be back competing coming up at the Porta Invite. In girls basketball for today, a few games on the docket. You've got Nokomis at North Mac. Carrollton will host Brussels, and Pena will entertain Clinton. In boys basketball today, Nokomis will host Metro East Lutheran. Carthenville traveling to Auburn. Pawnee will be at Mount Olive. Roxana on the road at Pena. And Greenville will be at Trenton West Glen. Now, last night, it was a very special night in Bunker Hill. It was alumni night as Coach Lafka was honored before the varsity game last night. A lot of former players were in attendance. All the former players who played for Coach Lafka signed a basketball when they came in. That was presented to Coach at the end of the night. He spoke some nice words as well. And Mulberry Grove, though, ruined the party. They beat Bunker Hill 65-43. It was a two-point game at the half, but then the Aces, a strong second-half performance to pull away. And this Mulberry Grove squad, they're now 6-1. Good-looking club. They got a lot of nice pieces, and they could be a handful in Class 1A as the season moves along. But it really was an awesome night in Bunker Hill. Some of the all-time greats in the history of the program were in attendance last night to honor the great Coach Lafka. Other games around the area last night. Hillsboro beat Pena 75-63 as the Toppers outscored Pena 19-9 in the fourth quarter, and it was a balanced attack. Caden White had 20. Peyton Tester had 16. Then Drake Payton, Jordan Gregg, and Dylan Civitate all had 12. So that is tough to stop when you're scoring with that type of balance. Southwestern beat Carthenville 57-38. Justin Bailey and Caden Hine had 19 points for Piasaw. Greenville beat Staunton last night as Brock Nelson finished with 20 for the Comets. Dylan Heeman paced Staunton with 15. The game of the night, no doubt about it, came out of the Sangamo Conference. Williamsville beat Pleasant Plains 72-70 in 4 overtimes. That does not happen very often. A 4 overtime thriller. Williamsville upends Plains 72-70. And of course, over the years, basketball has been what Plains has been known for, along with baseball, of course. But coming off of that fabulous football season where they played in the state football championship, perhaps Plains will find out what a lot of schools who advance that deep in the playoffs find out. Boy, it takes a little while to get those basketball legs back in shape. Vandalia beat Gillespie 72-32. North Mac over Carrollton 57-48. Zane Langelier had 24 for the Panthers. Sam Mount with 21. New Berlin beat Athens 62-57. Connor Allen had 22 for New Berlin. Jack Richards had 23 for Athens. And Auburn, they beat Pawnee 62-29. Benji Eaker with 28 points. Dustin Chance had 15 for Auburn. At the North Green Spartan Classic last night in the championship game, Brown County beat North Green in overtime 65-62. The third place game saw Barry Western beat Calhoun 51-47. In the consolation final, Pleasant Hill beat Greenfield Northwestern 57-55. And in the seventh place game, it was Father McGivney over Brussels 59-32. The Macon County Tournament was last night. The championship game saw Decatur St. Teresa beat Mohiqua Central A&M 54-42. In the third place game, Macon Meridian beat Warrensburg Latham by the final of 54-50. In girls basketball last night, Bunker Hill beat Metro East Lutheran 68-49. With the win, the Minute Maids over 500 at 4-3 on the year. We'll be talking to Steve Woolley coming up about 9:30 this morning here on FM 106, as Coach Woolley is going to be inducted into the IBCA Hall of Fame coming up in May. That ceremony will be in May next year at Redbird Arena in Normal. Steve Woolley today up in Germantown Hills, as he is there with his 8th grade girls basketball team as they are getting set for the 3A state quarterfinals. They will play at 11:30 this morning. Southwestern is 23-1 on the year. They will be facing Tolono Unity, who is 15-7. The first game of the day, 10 o'clock this morning, has New Berlin taking on South Holland McKinley. The winners will square off tonight in the state semifinals at 5 o'clock. And win two games today, you play for the state championship coming up on Thursday. And I think right now we have David Jenkins standing by. He is at the Stamp Out Cancer Ticket event at T-Shirts, Inc. in Hillsboro. David Jenkins, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tim. Thank you very much. And we are here live at T-Shirts, Inc. in Hillsboro for the annual Stamp Out Cancer Ticket Sales event. Again, tickets go on sale at 10 o'clock this morning, so we're still about 40 minutes away, a little bit less than 40 minutes away from selling tickets here for Stamp Out Cancer. Joining me right now are Corey Evans and Kelsey Flack, who are alumni of this event. I'll talk to both of you about your experiences. Corey, let me ask you about your experience doing Stamp Out Cancer. How long ago was it that you participated?
2016, my wife Katie and I battled against the Andersons and Slepkas and a team from Nokomis, the Chris. And no, we did not. We got second place, I believe, Beskett, though, I think. We did the cheerleaders from Saturday Night Live.
Okay. That's
so
cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The month goes by fast with all the fundraising events. You get close with the other teams, and, you know, it's just a nice, supportive group of people that come together and do things for good reasons.
I think I asked you this before. It was still a lip-sync battle when you did it, right?
It was.
Was it the first year that it was?
It was the first...
Roughly, it was around the beginning of that
first
time.
First or second, I think, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because obviously before that it was Dancing with the Stars, now it's the lip-sync battle. I don't know how many years that's been going on. Zach would know what he can tell us whenever we talk to him again.
But right.
3 years for lip-sync battle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you were the first.
There you go.
Yeah, we were the first, and then Kelsey and Emily came in doing it the second year, and they got first place. So
was that last year, Kelsey? Was that?
Yeah, that was last year. Emily Zimmerman and I were the first year that they did two girls together.
Okay.
And we named ourselves the Game Changers, and I think we changed it up.
Yeah. Well, I think didn't it primary, did it focus on like spouses before and then you kind of ran out of spouses, or did you did have a father-daughter? Okay.
Yeah, it was typically just couples or father-daughter or girl and guy, and we were the first year that they opened it up to just two girls.
Yeah.
And now we have another all-girl team this year. So.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Maybe two guys and next year.
Always open to anything.
Yeah. If we can get someone to do it, hey, come on down.
You're probably more likely to get girls to do this than guys. The guys are typically, I think, more shy about doing it. So
I was nervous, as can be.
I'm sure it's not that bad.
But you go that morning and you perform in front of the teams and the committee, and people say, oh, it'll be fine after that. And it really is. It's, you're more calm after practicing in front of everyone, and it's not as bad as it you think it's going to be.
Well, that's exactly right. You guys did pretty well selling, too. Did you win?
We did win, yeah. It's a lot of work, but it's all for a good cause, and it brings out so many people from our community, surrounding communities, and all of the support that people give you is just amazing.
Absolutely. Again, that's Stamp Out Cancer. The ticket sales event going on right now, Stamp Out Cancer, January 27th, I believe, at the KC Hall in Taylor Springs. I think doors open at 6. Is that right, Zach?
Doors 6? Open at 6.
The event starts at 7?
Start at 7.
Yeah, all right. Sounds good. Again, Stamp Out Cancer, Saturday, January 27th, 4/2018. Third year for the lip sync battle, eighth year overall. We'll be talking to you again more here throughout the hour and going on until around 10:30. Right now, we are here live at the T-Shirts Inc. for the Stamp Out Cancer ticket sales event. So there's a pretty good line outside. It's a little chilly, but that shouldn't stop you from coming out. If you need your tickets, please do come out. Yes, the sun is coming out, so it's warming things up a little bit. But this is your only opportunity to purchase tickets to Stamp Out Cancer in January. So if you want to go, you got to show up. And at 10 o'clock, the doors will open and they'll start selling tickets, and they go pretty fast. I believe 10 to 12 minutes last year was when they were sold out. So please get here as soon as you can, because the line is already around the corner. It's on the block, so you're gonna need your space. I'm going to send it back to Sports Saturday, and we rejoin WSMI's Tim Mize and Randy Prangy.
Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106. We are trying to make contact with head coach Steve Woolley. He's busy this morning. He's got his practice going for the junior high game coming up in the 3A state tournament. So we will catch up with Steve Woolley here in just a matter of moments on WSMI Sports Saturday, as they will be playing Tolono Unity today in the 8th grade 3A quarterfinals. That game comes up at 11:30 this morning. And Steve said he was trying to track down a gymnasium up in that neck of the woods to get a shoot around in this morning. So we'll make contact with Coach Woolley here coming up on Sports Saturday. It was a huge week for Steve Woolley, obviously, as he is going into the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association Hall of Fame. He was the boys coach at Southwestern from 94 to 97. He took over the girls program the following year, and just two losing seasons in 20 years as the girls head coach. They went 11 straight years with 20 wins, 15 of 16 years with at least 20 victories. And during that time, Southwestern won 13 regionals and two sectionals. Their biggest year, probably 06, when the Birds took a 31-0 record into the Super Sectional before falling to Carthage that year for their only loss. And we will be catching up with Coach Woolley in just moments here on WSMI FM 106. Randy, if you could take all that out of my ear, that would be fantastic. But Carlinville volleyball coach Fran Struble, she called it quits this week, hanging it up after 37 years at the helm of the Cavies volleyball program. She will retire with 930 career wins. That is the sixth most in state history. And we talked to Coach Struble after their season ended this past year, and she talked about how she was thinking about this decision, hadn't made her mind up at that point in time, but she has decided to step away, and that will be a big loss, not just for Carlinville volleyball, but for just kids in the community as a whole. She was one of those old school type of coaches. And really, I was talking earlier in the show about Coach Lofka and how he was honored last night at Bunker Hill. Very similar type of coaching in the regard of old school, but teaching kids a lot more than the sport that they were hired to coach. So she will be missed for a variety of different reasons. On the court, sure, but she spent 37 years producing quality young women coming out of Carlinville, so she certainly will be missed. And on the day she announced, Dave Kane got a fabulous quote from her that he put on Twitter, as Coach Struble said that each of the last 37 years, God has told her no when she asked if she should stop coaching. Well, she asked the 38th time, and God said yes. So there you have it. That is how it went down for Fran Struble, but hanging it up after 37 years as the head coach at Carlinville High School. This is WSMI Sports Saturday on FM 106. Fighting Illini basketball for you tonight, and it's going to be a late one as they will have the pregame beginning at 10 o'clock this evening on 105.3. The Ox, as they will be taking on UNLV out in Vegas. The Illini are 7-3 coming off of that win over Austin Peay where they had to rally to get the W. UNLV is 7-2. Now, both of the Running Rebels' losses came in overtime. They lost at Northern Iowa 77-68 and then lost to Arizona 91-88. No real quality wins. Florida A&M, Prairie View A&M, Eastern Washington, Rice, Utah, Southern Utah, Oral Roberts. Those are their wins. And let's be honest, the Illini don't exactly have any quality wins on their schedule either. Not uncommon this time of year not to have any big time games yet, but it'll start to pick up for Illinois here. Real opponent in UNLV today. They got the bragging rights game coming up, and then of course they'll get back into conference play coming up around the start of the new year. So late game tonight, 10 o'clock pregame, 11 o'clock tip, 105.3 the Ox tonight for the Illini and UNLV. The other big news out of the baseball world, of course, is that the Cardinals will not be getting Giancarlo Stanton. He informed the Redbirds yesterday that he will not be waiving his no-trade clause to come to St. Louis. He will not be heading to San Francisco. It looks like in the last 20 minutes or so, well, maybe half hour or so, he's headed to the Yankees. It is not officially done yet. He'll still have to approve, pass a physical, and it has to get technically approved, but he has cleared the way for a trade to the Yankees. Now they just have to hammer out the final parameters of the deal. But you think about it, Derek Jeter, the new owner of the Marlins, obviously a rich history with the Yankees, and wouldn't you know, they're the only really marketable piece they have winds up in pinstripes. And my goodness gracious, the Bronx Bombers will be back in full force next year if this deal does go through. You think about Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge in the same lineup. It was such a big deal this past summer during the All-Star game when they were both in the home run derby. I mean, people were just losing their minds about the thought of these two premier sluggers going head-to-head in a home run derby. And now they're going to be batting third and fourth in the same lineup coming up next year. That is going to be not a lot of fun for opposing pitchers next season if they have to deal with Judge and Stanton back-to-back. And then don't forget about Gary Sanchez and Didi Gregorius. They will be loaded up with power. Will they have enough pitching? That will be the question. The Angels hope they have answered that potential question on their club as they have signed the Japanese two-way star Shohei Ohtani. He will be going to Anaheim to join Albert Pujols and Mike Trout as he's just 23 years of age. He's a pitcher. He's a power hitter. Haven't really seen that combination since Babe Ruth starting. Remember, Rick Ankiel came up as an awesome pitcher. He had to switch to the outfield after his pitching went downhill and he lost it. But for Babe Ruth, obviously, everyone knows his story. Ohtani seems to be more along those lines. Now, I'm not saying that this guy is going to be Babe Ruth, because that would just be silly to say. But what I am saying is, when you're 23 years old and you're heading to the big leagues and they don't know if you're going to be a pitcher or a hitter, when you can swing either way, well, you have a chance to do something very, very special in the game of baseball. He had a 3.20 ERA last year, and then he hit 3.32 for the year. Now, the Japanese League, while it's a great professional league, it is not the major league. So we'll see what type of adjustments he will make as he goes along, but that will be fun to watch here starting next year with the potential of a guy starting a game, and then maybe when he gets taken out of the game, showing up, or maybe you don't take him out of the game, actually. You would just move him, say, to right field. So a lot of possibilities when you have someone with that type of skill set. As we look at the high school docket for today in boys basketball, Nokomis hosting Metro East, Auburn hosting Carthenville, Pawnee will be at Mount Olive, Roxana is at Pena, and Greenville will be at Trenton Westglen. In girls basketball, Nokomis is at North Mac, Brussels will be at Carrollton, and Clinton will travel to Pena. High school wrestling today, it'll be Carthenville, Hillsboro, Litchfield, and Mount Olive. They will all be at the Porta Invite today, and it's just good to see that Litchfield will be back competing after they had to cancel school for the better part of this week. They canceled a lot of their basketball games this week due to the influenza outbreak in Litchfield. So the Panther wrestling team will be in action today coming up at the Porta Invite. We need to get to a quick break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages. We like to be as accurate as we can here on WSMI Sports Saturday. So we shall correct the record from earlier this morning on Spotlight on Sports as Randy and I were talking about the Army-Navy game that comes up today, one of the great American classics. And we were talking about, we couldn't remember what happened last year, and Randy said he thought that Army missed a field goal at the end to win. Well, you were almost right, Randy.
Pretty close. Pretty close. He made it.
Made the field goal.
And Army won.
And Army won.
Yes.
To break a long, long losing streak to Navy. The midshipmen.
They're 8-3 this year. Then Army's 6-5. So it's going to be a good ball game. I mean, there's bowl potential for Army on the line.
How about that?
Yeah. I mean, Navy's got a, they got a bowl bid locked in. But, oh, excuse me, Army's 8-3, Navy's 6-5. Man, I can't get nothing straight.
Oh, man, rough day, Randy.
I'll tell you what.
Did you eat your second apricot stick back there?
No.
Well, there's your problem right there.
That's working overtime is what's doing it for me.
Well, that's why I got you the second apricot stick.
I'm used to being in my recliner about this time on Saturday.
Of course, we heard a report from David earlier in the hour. He's at the Stamp Out for Cancer ticket sale event out at T-Shirt Inc. in Hillsboro. Those tickets, I think, go on sale here at 10 o'clock. We'll have one more report from David at the top of the hour. But, Randy, those people, they're a little nuts out there. They get in line, evidently, at like 4 a.m., and not many people around here get up before you do.
No.
These people were up before you.
Probably so,
had
yes.
their day started already.
How about that?
You get to sleep in on Saturdays.
A little bit, yeah. I could sleep in a quarter to four.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But I kind of cheated. I hit the snooze a couple of times, I must admit.
If I hit the snooze at that time, I'd never get up. Like, if I'm getting up at that hour, like, my alarm goes off, I just have to pop out of bed or it's over for me.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I can't snooze.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
How many years you been doing that?
Oh, I don't know. It's been a few.
6 days a week.
Yeah, I can't remember, honestly, how long I've been. You mean, I'm just talking about signing
on. Yeah.
It's just... I think 20-some.
Oh, was that all?
Yeah, is that all?
Just a couple decades?
Yeah. Well, I was figuring out the other day, on December the 18th, I'll have had my CDL for 20 years. I've been driving a truck for 20 years, too.
How about that?
Man, where has that gone? Man, oh, man.
Earl's asking the same question. Like, what? Really?
Yeah, I've used how much fuel? Anyway. Can't complain.
No, absolutely not.
No, can't complain at all.
Hey, we'll have high school basketball, of course, on the radio coming up next week. Good matchup. Monday night girls basketball. Greenville will travel to Hillsboro. We'll have it live for you Monday night, 7:30 on FM 106. And then a week from today, the Route 16 rivalry with girls high school basketball. It'll be Hillsboro at Litchfield next Saturday night, of course, live 7:30 here on FM 106 online at WSMIRadio.com. Earlier this week, Terry Totes stopped by our studios. Randy, it was great to see him. He looked fabulous.
Looks great.
He sounded great.
Yes.
And if you missed it and you would like to hear Terry, we had him on the air for about 20 minutes. It's podcasted for you at WSMIRadio.com if you want to hear Terry's return to the WSMI airways. But if you hadn't known what the man had been through, and he was in the hospital for 86 or 87 straight days, if you hadn't known that, and you just saw him, you wouldn't know that really anything was wrong just from the first blush look.
No, you wouldn't. Really, you wouldn't.
And he looked fabulous.
Yeah, looked great. Sounds great.
Oh.
Sounds great.
And he will be back sooner than later. We don't have an official date for Terry's return, but he is coming back.
He will be back.
Hopefully, maybe a basketball game or two in his future this year.
Can't rule it out.
Be wonderful.
Yeah. Well, he's got I think, was it, did he say it would be yesterday that one of the tubes might come out that he could eat?
That'd be nice. Yeah, he hasn't had the solid food.
No, he can only eat the liquid, and they have to feed it intravenous.
Mm.
Ooh. Mm. I can't imagine.
No.
Anyway.
But he's battling hard, getting better every day.
Yes.
He was out this week. It was just fabulous and amazing to see him. We need to get to one final break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages here on FM 106. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday on the 9th day of December, the baseball winter meetings will be next week. Of course, spring training will be here before we know it, and Giancarlo Stanton will not be a St. Louis Cardinal. He will not be a San Francisco Giant. It appears he's going to be a New York Yankee, as the Bombers, well, they are going to be loaded up next year after they were one win away from the World Series. Now, a lot of people around Cardinal Nation had their hopes up that Stanton was going to eventually come to St. Louis. Me personally, I never allowed myself to be drawn into the hype of Giancarlo Stanton. I wasn't going to allow the Cardinals to trick me once again about making a big play, being a major player for a free agent, only to have them go elsewhere like we've seen the last number of years. The difference this year, though, was that the Cardinals, by all accounts, did everything that they could do. This was a simple case of Giancarlo Stanton simply not wanting to come to the Cardinals. They made the offer, they made the pitch, and there's really nothing else that could be done from the Cardinals' perspective. This isn't a situation where they didn't offer enough money, weren't willing to pick up enough of the contract, didn't want to give part with certain prospects. They were willing to do all of those things. Just the bottom line was Giancarlo Stanton did not want to come. The only way I can see the Cardinals coming out of this looking bad is if some sort of report surfaces that Stanton just simply didn't want to play for Mike Matheny. Short of that, the Cardinals did all they could do. There was nothing else that could be done. Stanton just simply wanted to go the other way. And when that's the case, there's nothing you can do about it. Hey, we are happy to be joined on the phone right now by soon-to-be Illinois Basketball Coaches Association Hall of Famer Steve Woolley. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, we're doing very well. How are you doing today? And I think it's fitting, Coach, that you're up at the junior high state tournament on the week when this gets announced, because your junior high program has had a lot to do with your varsity success over the years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, we're excited. We're excited. We're getting ready to play this morning at 11:30. So.
Tolona Unity is the opponent. You know anything about them? What's the scouting like at the junior high level?
Actually, pretty good. I have a former player that lived close to. She's going to U of I, and she went to Monticello for me the other night to tape the game for me, and uploaded it on the Huddle program, so I was able to actually watch the game.
That's excellent. That certainly is an advancement over your years in the game, Steve, with the ability to get video like that uploaded.
Oh yeah, that part of it's really evolved.
Steve, I know when you've had the type of success that you have had over the years, I mean, there's no question that you're a great coach, but you have had a lot of talent in your pipeline over the years.
Oh, yeah. I feel like a lot of our success, we've always had a pretty strong point guard run the show. And then, depending on whether we've had size, now we've been able to adapt, you know, more of a guard-oriented play or people take advantage. So I think quality of the kids we've had plus ability to change strategy year to year definitely plays a part of that.
And Steve, you guys have never been a comfortable play. The defensive pressure that you apply on your opponents, that to me has been the hallmark of your program.
Right. And to get that, you have to get kids to buy into working hard every day at practice. That doesn't just happen at the game, you know what I mean? So a strong work ethic and the kids believing in the system, definitely.
Girls basketball has come a long way since you first took over the program, but the one consistent thing for a lot of the girls programs that have had success over the years is that junior high program. It's very important.
Oh, yeah. You got to lay the groundwork there, and now it's getting, even before that, so. It's just, how much time does your community want to invest in it? Do you have the resources, the people that are willing to do it? I mean, but yeah, definitely the most important piece of the puzzle.
And obviously you're at the state tournament and you've had a lot of success, wins and losses. But at the end of the day for the junior high team, skill development is still the top priority.
Oh, I think that is the key. I mean, you know, I mean, getting all the fundamental work, at least in the terminology you use at the high school, you know, being able to implement that down there, get to come in and understand technology, have those fundamentals to build off of.
And when the girls get to high school, they've already had you as their coach, so there's no surprises in that regard.
Yeah, I'm kind of a stickler, and so, you know, I think the earlier you can introduce kids to, you know, that demand and get them mentally ready for that kind of a push, you know, definitely helps as well. You're right.
Steve, let's talk a little bit about this Hall of Fame announcement. What does it mean to you, man?
It's obviously a great honor, but, you know, it makes me more or less reflect on, you know, the people that have had an impact on me throughout my playing career, my coaching career. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of what I think about whenever, you know, you get some kind of an award like that. So,
and Steve, who is, would you say, a couple of your biggest influences in the terms of coaching?
Well, I had a guy up at Greenfield when I first started playing. My beginning of my career was at Greenfield, and I had a guy, Bobby Thomas, who was an assistant coach there at the time, who went on to be a middle school coach at North Green throughout the years when they had all their success going through there. And I felt like he was pretty instrumental in you know, building that desire and the motivation to want to, you know, excel at basketball. And then, you know, I've got a couple Hall of Famers that I played for, one in high school, Daryl Bird, who coached me at Wood River. And then Larry Graham, when I played at SIU, was my coach at SIU. And I mean, I've had a lot of people that's influenced me. Coaching-wise, I've had, you know, like Randy Jackson, I coached with some at Southwestern on the boys' side. Learned a lot of X's and O's through him. You know, there's been a ton of people. You know, I've just been fortunate to be able to work with a lot of people at both the playing level and the coaching level. So,
you coached the boys at Southwestern from 94 to 97, then took over the girls program the following year. As you look back at that decision to make the switch from boys to girls, what went into that thought process?
Well, honestly, it was a little selfish in the beginning. I mean, I had a daughter who was probably about a fourth grader at the time, and you know, I had just taken some younger boys, like sophomore level boys, a decent group, took them all the way through their senior year. And our girls coach at the time had gotten out of the program. I just quit that year to move on somewhere else. And the opportunity to get involved in the middle school and the high school was there at that time. And so probably, like I say, more out of selfish reasons in the beginning, just so that I could kind of help build the program with my daughter in it. And then, you know, after you invest that much time, you know, it's just difficult to kind of move away from it. So I kind of stuck on the girls' side there.
Yeah, absolutely. Good decision, by the way. You've had so many great teams over the years. Now, that undefeated team that went into the Super Sectional back in 06, normally coaches don't like to rank their team, Stephen. I don't imagine you're any different in that regard. But record-wise, you haven't had a team better than that. Talent-wise, I would imagine they are close to the top of the list.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, my daughter was involved in that group as well, and, you know, that's obviously a special team for me. You know, the success was just due to, you know, having a really strong balance, you know, post and guard play, shot the ball really well, you know, kids executed well, you know. So, but yeah, that would be one of my favorites, obviously, because my daughter's involved in that one. But, you know, we've had tons of great kids and tons of, you know, great teams, and it's really, like you say, hard to rank them.
Steve, as you look back at your career, obviously it's going to be a Hall of Fame career now. What would be, to young coaches out there, a couple of important things that, you know, if you want to do this over the long term, you need to establish these things?
Well, you know, definitely getting the lower level program put into place. And I think obviously having a hand in that, whether or not you do it personally or you work closely with people, is such a huge thing, just because, you know, when you get a lot of turnover at the lower levels with coaches, or you get people that aren't teaching your terminology or whatever, to me that just makes tougher adjustment for kids down the road. So for me, it's just getting a hand involved. It's a lot of time involved. But if you have a passion for it, I mean, I have fun with it. So, I mean, for me, it doesn't feel like work. And I think that's the main thing, just getting involved in those lower levels and getting some things done.
So you got the big state quarterfinal today for your eighth grade girls. Let's talk a little bit here in the last couple minutes, Steve, about your varsity team this year. Off to a pretty decent start.
Yeah, we could actually record-wise be a little better. We've had to do some experimenting here early due to an early season injury with a starting post player who I was expecting to be probably our leading scorer this year, broke her arm. Mm. And so she's going to be out. And so we've been having to shuffle some kids and been playing a lot of young kids. I've got a couple freshmen, you know, coming off the bench and playing a lot. And I mean, we only have one senior. And, I mean, we're young and, you know, we got down the road, we got this eighth grade group mixing in with them. And so, you know, we have some good things to look forward to. But at the same time, I mean, I think these kids still have that strong desire to want to be successful this year. We're 5-5 right now. I think we gave away a couple games. We couldn't handle the ball at the end of one game and lost it. We had a lead in that game. Had another game where we went 8 of 24 from the free throw line. Mm. So, you know, lose by 6 or 7. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. You know, it's a learning process for them. I think they're learning how to win games at the end. But I feel real good about it. Our progress is going pretty good. So.
And historically, Steve, your early season schedule is tough.
Yeah, I mean, we used to host the tournament for years there, but then now we've been going over Litchfield the last couple of years. And, you know, I don't know if our schedule this year has been all that tough, but, I mean, we've had some pretty comparable teams to us, I think, and so we've had some good competitive games, which I think is important, too, to see which kids can perform under fire, you know what I mean,
yep.
And that kind of thing. So, I mean, and that's the good thing is I just like these close ball games because I think it gets them used to what we're probably going to have the end of the season, because I don't really see us blowing a lot of people out, but I see us being able to compete with a lot of people. So,
sounds good. Coach, hopefully you will have a nice long day up in Germantown Hills, because if you win at 11:30, you have to stick around and play again at 5, so hopefully that happens.
Yeah, I hope so too. We had a good time with it last year, and we hope to do it again. So, and I appreciate you guys covering us and everything that you do.
All right, Steve, good luck today, and congratulations on the Hall of Fame announcement.
Thanks, Jim.
Steve Hoyley, the head coach of the Southwestern Piasaw Birds. Of course, he's in charge of the junior high program as well. And good luck to Southwestern today against Tolono Unity. They'll tip in about 90 minutes up in Germantown Hills. But just Steve Hoyley has been so great for so long, so many great teams. And I really like the small school public coaches who stick around, the Steve Kimbrough's, the Steve Woolley's, and when they have the sustained success, because it tells you one thing, they are great coaches, because talent pools go up and they go down in small towns when you can't recruit, when you're reliant on the kids that are in your district. So when you see consistency, whether it's at Southwestern on the girls' side with Steve Woolley or at Nokomis with Steve Kimbrough, talked about Coach Lofka this morning down at Bunker Hill for 43 years. He had 7 losing seasons in 43 years at a small public high school. That to me is how you can tell if a coach is at an elite level, when they can take a small public school and sustain that success. And that's exactly what Steve Woolley's been able to do over
and
the years.
More often those coaches are from the towns that they're coaching in too.
You got to be invested in the town.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Exactly right. So congratulations to Steve Woolley. Also congratulations to Liz DeSacia Bray, Stasha DeSacia Flowers, Alicia DeSacia McConnell, and Amber Shelton Allen, all who played at Carrollton. Amber Shelton finished at Edwardsville, but they are all going into the Hall of Fame. Adrian Dickerson-Rain, she played at Carthage, coached at North Mac several years ago. She's going in. And Kayvon Lacey from Alton for a number of years, also going in, so congratulations to all the area folks who will be inducted into the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association Hall of Fame coming up at a ceremony in May at Redbird Arena. Thanks to Joe Alstadt for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. You can find out more about the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic. Follow them on Twitter at I-70 Clinic. Thanks to Steve Woolley for his time this morning on Sports Saturday. We are done. For Randy Prangy, I am Tim Mai. Sports Saturday is finished on your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. We've got worldwide news coming at the top. And then David Jenkins will be live at the Stamp Out Cancer Ticket Event coming up here on WSMI FM 106.